And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines. He is Santa, Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio. What's up, Joe?
Oh, man, what's happening?
Oh, it's a good day, buddy. Doing okay?
It is a good day. I'm good, yeah. You got the get-up on. You're ready to go.
I'm checking the naughty list today. A lot of naughty people down here at the Omni. So it's good, though, man. It's going to be we're a week out from Christmas.
We are. So it's almost here. If you're watching this, Santa looks tired.
Santa had a long night.
Yeah, here's the thing about this Santa. Joe is not the traditional Santa. Joe is the Santa that smells like tequila and
chicken tenders.
Yep. Yeah.
So welcome in, everybody.
Yes.
So hello, everybody.
Nick says Santa looks like he's been drinking.
Santa's had a rough morning. But we're here. We made it.
We are. So we're here at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, our home away from home on Thursdays. It is our last one here this year. We'll be off for Christmas and New Year's, so we'll take a couple weeks off and be back at it the first of the year. Always appreciate everybody here at Bar Lines and Todd with the Omni and being back with us in 2026.
Yeah, Todd. Look, gosh, we're not going to be back here for two more weeks, right?
No.
Holy cow. We got Christmas and then New Year's and rolling to 26, man, getting it going.
Indeed, we will. I do want to start, on a sad note, and I hate that we have to start on a sad note, but woke up to the news this morning that Sheila Crisp, wife of Terry Crisp, better known as Crispy, passed away last night. She had been battling cancer and obviously gave it all she had. If you ever met Sheila, you knew that she would never go down without a fight, especially after being married to Crispy for as long as she was.
Right.
And Crispy, you know, his personality, hers matched it. And Sheila was always a ray of sunshine and laughing and smiling and always picking at you and stuff. So really hated to see that news and that she had passed away. But that's no other information on that. But just our thoughts and prayers go out to Terry, his family, and the Preds community on the passing of Sheila Crisp.
She was always pleasant. I mean, always nice. You know, it's not one of those like, oh, we're going to, you know, because somebody's passed away, let's speak good things. She was always genuine, always nice, always come up and say hi to us. We did that thing last year at the Pancake Pantry, and they were there, and they came over, and were just so nice, her and Terry. I hate this. And they were married, 50-something years?
Right. Yeah.
Hate that. Man, I just really do. So, such good people. And I just, man.
I love the picture they used on the story. It's when Crispy was put in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame and he and Sheila dropped the puck. And it's Roman Josi, and then Ryan O'Reilly was the captain of the Blues at the time.
Oh, nice.
So, it's that's who did the honorary face-off. But, again, Crispy, we're thinking about you and the kids and the grandkids. And, you know, I texted with Pete a little bit this morning. And he, you know, obviously tough for him because he and his wife Claudia are very close with Terry and Sheila. And I know Claudia has been, with Sheila a lot, you know, through this. So, just a sad day in Smashville. And obviously their kids, Tony, Jeff, and Kaylee, and 10 grandchildren, which – how cool would it be to have Crispy and Sheila as your grandparents?
Yeah, right? Terrible. Such a good person.
Yeah. So we hate that, and we just send our love to them. But we're happy to be here today at Bar Lines. And
right. Well, don't we have more news?
Yeah.
Do you want to bring it up? Or?
Yeah, we will – so there was a plane crash in North Carolina that reportedly is owned by former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle. There are unconfirmed reports about him and his family being on the plane, but they are unconfirmed. But multiple fatalities. It's a bad situation. They just had a press conference where they didn't really say too much, but it looked like the plane had engine trouble shortly after takeoff and was trying to double back and unfortunately couldn't make it. So we'll see if there's more information as we go through the show, but not looking good. And again, a plane owned by former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle crashed in North Carolina. So the things I'm seeing on Twitter don't look good, but nothing has been confirmed yet.
Who was Alan Kulwicki? Was one I remember that he was signing autographs at a Hooters in Knoxville and was flying to Bristol for a race. Guy, it must have been the early 90s, mid-90s, and his plane crashed, yep, too as well. It just seems like it's just with NASCAR, 90, their planes. Man.
93 was a tough year because you had, I think Kulwicki was first. You had Alan Kulwicki crash in Bristol and die, the defending champion. And then Davey Allison in a helicopter in Talladega,
right,
that July. So you lost both drivers that year. I'll never forget at Atlanta at the end of the season. Dale Sr. won the championship. Rusty Wallace won the race. And they both did the Polish victory lap that Kulwicki made famous, going around backwards with the window to the fans. And one had a 28, one had a 7 flag, and it was really cool.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah. So, again, nothing confirmed, but it's not looking good.
What wasn't there another one with Rick Hendrick or Richard,
yes,
Childress?
Yes, Rick Hendrick's plane crashed with his brother. This was in Martinsville in, I believe, 2004, 2005. The engine builder, his brother, Rick's – I think it was Rick's brother, Rick's son. Ricky Hendrick was on it. A bunch of people. So, yeah, it's – I mean, man, look, you know – you never know.
Nope.
You never know where you're going to go.
Exactly right about that. You never, ever know what's going to happen. So, yeah, man, that's
2004.
Terrible. 2004.
Yeah, and it was let's see. It was John Hendrick, his twin daughters, Ricky Hendrick, Kimberly and Jennifer Hendrick, Jeff Turner was the GM, Randy Dorton, the engine builder, the pilots, Richard Tracy and Elizabeth Morrison. Other passengers included Joe Jackson, an executive with DuPont, and Scott Latham, who was Tony Stewart's pilot.
Holy
at the time.
Cow!
So
I just remember that plane. I don't remember who was on the plane, but my goodness.
Well, and you may remember this a few years ago at Bristol, Dale Jr.'s plane went down, had to make a crash landing. Now, luckily, they were able to walk away, but it was a scary situation.
That's right.
It was him and his wife and his, I think, just one daughter at the time, and the dog. But so, yeah, I mean, you hate it. You obviously hate news like that this close to Christmas, especially.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Anything else happens, there are more news, we'll let you know going forward.
Yeah.
I hope there's no more news of that going,
yeah,
forward,
yeah,
today. That's too much for a year, nonetheless, one day.
Yes. So we're gonna the show goes on.
Show goes on, pal.
We're gonna try and have fun and make you laugh. So with that, what is our question of the day?
All right, our question today is that Dr. Crane, we have a brand new, we love this. We have somebody joined the Cromwell 102.5 The Game family next year. It's an exotic vet, Matt Haley, his veterinarian practice. So Dr. Crane and I spent the morning at his practice playing operative word with monkeys and a cockatoo, watch your mouth, what else, a kangaroo, what else we have, Dr. Crane?
There were a few dogs, a snake.
There, yeah, you go.
There was a lot.
So our question today is, I am terrified of snakes.
Yeah, me too.
Terrified. I want to know what your greatest fear is when it comes to an animal, something like that. Is it a snake? Is it, what is it? Or are you just terrified of snakes like I am? If you're not terrified of snakes, tell me why you're not terrified of snakes. Because I interviewed the doctor 15 feet away when he was holding a snake. I am that scared of snakes. Thanks to my mother for instilling the fear of snakes in me. By the way, the snake throughout history has had the worst PR team. Do you know this?
No.
I mean, it's in the Bible, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah.
So the snakes had the worst PR of all time, but I was 10 feet away. So our question today is, are you or are you not afraid of snakes? And I'm curious to know why you're not or why you are.
Indiana Jones, you know that whole thing, he's afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Could you have filmed that scene?
No.
Now, you know there's plexiglass all around there.
Sure.
They showed the making of that.
Yeah, but no.
I mean, I would not be in the vicinity of a cobra and 500 snakes. Now, Dr. Crane didn't care, right? Dr. Crane, are you scared of snakes?
I mean, to a certain degree, but those were harmless, Joe. I mean, come on, man.
Really?
Yeah.
You talked to it?
Yeah. I was standing right behind him, remember?
Yeah.
What'd you tell the snake? Don't forget about the squirrel either.
Squirrel bit me.
It was a squirrel?
It bit me.
Good.
That's not good.
At least it didn't pee on you like happened to our friend Kelly Rippon one time.
Well, it probably tried to, but I got away. But I'm just curious. This close to Christmas, we just want to know, what are you or are you not terrified of snakes?
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com. We'll take your calls and texts on that. Coming up at 1, we're going to talk to Seren Petro. He does radio in Kansas City and covers the Chiefs. I went on with him for their pregame show. He's going to come on with us, talk a little more about that, including Matt Nagy, who could potentially be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans after this season. But we'll talk about that in the Titans and Chiefs matchup this week. Plus, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, talk some hockey with him at 2 o'clock. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Thursday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're hanging out at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Joe's dressed as Santa. We even got some Christmas lights here on the table that we set up. So, you know, we're feeling good today.
Come on down, people. We'd love to see you here today. By the way, did you see who the guest pickers are for game day?
I did not.
Tomorrow night it is Oklahoma. Who would you have the guest picker for the Oklahoma Sooners? Pick one player.
Baker.
Hell no. Keep going.
Adrian Peterson.
It's a good one, but no.
Stoops.
Nope.
For Oakland, the Boz.
There you go, buddy.
Okay. All right.
The Boz is a guest picker. Who is a guest picker for Miami at Texas A&M?
Manziel.
Bingo.
Yep. That's what I would have done.
Right?
But, I think for a playoff game, even though you're playing them at home sites, they should have somebody from both sides.
Okay. Over under Pavia being there.
With Manziel?
Yeah. 50-50.
Yeah. I'm going to say probably not.
Probably not.
But I don't know. I could be wrong, but I would say no.
Okay.
He's probably in Vegas.
I think he shows up just to keep going, like, hey, A&M, look at me, here I am.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, who knows?
Probably right? Not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So that's a good one. That's, good for the – I love the Boz, man. And don't come in here like, well, he didn't do anything in the pros. I don't care about that. We all in high school when I was – he was at Oklahoma. And I was. We all wanted to be the Boz. Every single one of us wanted to be Brian Bosworth. He was
so
that good.
Is he,
that
your, is he your favorite college player of all time?
Dale Jones.
Okay.
Linebacker Tennessee. Tennessee. Chris yeah. Gaines is number two. And then Boz is number three.
Okay.
Guys who just rip your head off and don't care on the football field.
Yeah.
And both Dell Jones and Chris Gaines were undersized linebackers, too, who just whipped ass every Saturday.
Let's go to Tim, who wants to answer our question of the day. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. I got to give you a little background before I tell you this. It's a story, really.
Okay.
I used to work at a grocery store on Blair Avenue back in the day when you actually had – you returned your Coke bottles and got your deposit back. If you remember back that far, it tells you how back far it is. All right. We had a fairly famous person that was shopping the store, Randall Tex Cobb, the boxer. And he was also in Ernest Goes to Jail, if you remember the movie. Well, he would always cutting up, picking on us. And we had a guy behind the counter that would take the Coke bottles, give him their money back. Well, Tex come in one day, and he had a sack, and he just set it down on the counter and told him he wanted his money. But the guy goes up there and reaches in there to get it, and it's an 8-foot python in there. That guy about messed his britches up and had to go home, and Tex was dying laughing. And then the rest of the time, Tex was walking around the store shopping with an 8-foot python wrapped around his neck.
Oh, my God. Didn't he live, like, near Centennial Park back then?
Yeah. He would shop over there with us. Tex is the one, if you remember, yeah, he got Howard Cosell out of Colin Boxing because he fought Frazier, and it was like 14 rounds, and he couldn't knock him out. And he took a beating, but he would not go down.
Guy, what year was that?
Kid I've ever seen. It had to be in the 70s.
That's right. And Cosell was like, I'm done calling boxing because it was the brutality was so bad.
Yes. Tex took a beating. Couldn't see out of either one of his eyes, and he just kept going, and Frazier could not knock him down. Guy was tough.
Is Tex Cobb, is he still with us?
He may be. I don't know if he's still living in Nashville or not, but he would come in, and he would always look at me, and he'd say, hey, white boy, and then he would just walk off. He said he got that part in Ernest Goes to Jail because he said they were looking for a dirty redneck. He said, I'm it. So
yeah, he's still alive, according to the internet.
Tim, he is.
Yes.
He was 34 years old when he did Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
He looked 65 when he did Raising Arizona. He was 34 years old when he did that.
He'd been beat up in the ring, man, boxing. The guy was tough as nails. I don't know what his record was professionally, but I know the guy could take a punch.
Holy cow.
We had a guy in the store one day. He said, I want to know what it feels like. And he let him hold two phone books up to his chest. And he didn't even really punch him. It was sort of like a little jab. And he about broke the guy's ribs.
All right, here it is. It's 1982. Larry Holmes, Tex Cobb. A disgusted Howard Cosell quit calling boxing, famously declaring it a mismatch, criticizing the referee for not stopping the fight. Holmes just kept beating on Cobb, who would not go down. Cobb called having Cosell retire was his greatest achievement in life.
That's it. I was thinking it's Frazier, but no, it was Larry Holmes. And I watched it. I remember watching it. And Tex took a beating.
My goodness. Thank you, Tim, for that. Thanks. That's a good walk down memory lane.
Thank you.
That's a good call. Our buddy Eric has called in. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys, a couple of things. First of all, guys, actually, I heard this. No. I don't know if you heard this. Manziel is supposed to be on the broadcast with Golic Jr. On TNT Saturday for the Miami Texas A&M game. I heard that this morning, so I figured you wanted to know that. The other thing you were talking about, animals give you fear. Well, this is actually an insect. One time, this was a long, long time ago when I was in the Boy Scouts. I was a kid. I can't remember. This was either in Chattanooga or Georgia, but I was canoeing down the river and we had to tie the boat down. And it wasn't the tie down there. It was a huge, humongous. It looked like tarantula. It was on thing. And I said, I didn't want to get in there. I was freaking out, screaming and stuff like, I don't want to tie down there. And they said, well, the spider's not poisonous. I said, I don't care. It was a huge tarantula. I said, I was not tying the boat down on that thing. So I literally was freaking out. I was about, I guess, 11, 12 years old, but I have always been just afraid.
Wait, hold on. Just a tarantula in the wild? I mean, like, was it a river around here?
No. It wasn't nearby. I can't remember where. It was either in Chattanooga or maybe near the Chattanooga, Georgia line or somewhere in Georgia. But it was where it's going to tie it on this, I guess it's like a tree or something like that or whatever it was. But it was a huge tarantula on the tree, and I was freaking out. But they were telling me, no, it's not poisonous. I said, I don't care. It is huge. I don't want to be near that because it freaked me out.
No, and that's the thing. People are like, it's a tarantula. Don't worry about it. I'm not letting that thing crawl on me.
No.
I don't know.
Me either. Yeah.
I don't care how friendly it is.
Guys, y'all take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Big man.
Tom Pelissero just put out that the Jets have signed quarterback Hendon Hooker to the practice squad.
So he goes from the Lions to the Panthers to the Jets.
Yep.
Okay. Well, good for him.
Yeah. He should have gone to, like, the Jaguars just to stay with Cats, but, you know.
Isn't he like 27?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? Like our boy Tim Hasselbeck said,
you keep going until nobody wants you anymore.
Right? If all 32 teams say, we're good, keep staying in the NFL and getting paid, I mean, you make a nice living on that practice squad, and who knows, you might get an opportunity, especially with the awful Jets. God, they have not been to the playoffs since 2009. And I think they went to the AFC Championship game that year and got beat by the Colts.
Yes, probably.
That's the last time Rex Ryan was there. That's the last time they were in the playoffs. So you think about how bad it is to be a Titans fan. Think about how bad it is to be a Jets fan.
Coming up next, Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson had some strong comments in response to one of his players saying, quote, we don't make adjustments, end quote. We'll discuss that coming up next and see what you all think. It's Chase and Big Joe live from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.
We got to adjust. We don't adjust enough over here. We don't adjust. We don't adjust. That's what it is. We don't adjust.
In what way? Like, yeah. You mean X and O's?
X and O's. We don't adjust.
So are you saying like that's something that, you know, the coaches need to do better, or are you saying?
We all need to do better on that.
We adjust all the time. You know, sometimes you look at it in the second half. I mean, what other adjustments do we need? We lost a one-on-one ball in man coverage, and we missed a tackle. And we didn't hinge on cover two. I don't know what else adjustments that we needed. You know, at this point, you know, everybody has an opinion, you know, about everything. You know, everybody needs to stay in their lane and focus on what they need to focus on.
That was Arden Key, followed by defensive coordinator Denard Wilson. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. So Arden Key says they don't adjust. Denard Wilson says we do adjust, and basically tells Arden Key to stay in his lane.
Did not Arden Key say the same thing with Mike Vrabel?
He sure did. It's not the
Shane
first.
Bowen.
Not the first time that he has said something like that.
Yeah. So I whatever Arden Key says, I take it with a grain of salt. I think he's not a very good player and a big mouth. So yeah, I hope they run him after practice today or something like that. I mean, don't adjust. Yeah, and that just look again. That makes the organization look terrible. You got infighting between players and a coach.
Right, and that's not good. But, I mean, I think what it's I would say right now that neither one of those guys are going to be back next year, but I would say Denard Wilson has a better chance than Arden Key.
Yeah, all right. And so, all right, so if you're Denard Wilson, you got to play. So if you're another team, like, looking at Denard Wilson, well, yeah, maybe next year I'll look at him, and you got a player said, oh, we don't adjust. Now Denard Wilson's got to defend that.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, look, I'm all about a player having a voice and, you know, being a little more little outspoken, and even if it is against a coach. But there's a time and a place, and there's a way to do it. And that was what Mike McCoy said yesterday of, like, I get being frustrated. You can be frustrated. But there's a better way to go about that, because now what you've done is you've created awkwardness.
Yep.
With your coach.
Every bit of that.
And with, you know, probably some of the other guys, too, that are going to be like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, don't call coach out like that.
Right.
Like you, the players don't want the coaches to call them out publicly. Why should they call the coaches out publicly? And he was trying not to, but, you know, he did.
Yeah. But and so now, it's like, well, there you go. So if you just hear one side of this with Arden Key, it's like, well, there's a problem. This coaching staff is terrible. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. Then you hear Denard Wilson's got to defend himself.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're making adjustments. So I would go to Arden Key and say, hey, pal, what are you talking about? And then have something to go with him and say, we're making adjustments. You know where we are. Go apologize and do that. It's just, why now? I mean, you're 2-12. Why now? You know, they make adjustments. They're just not good. And it starts with Arden Key, man.
615-737-1025. What do you think about both Key's comments and Denard Wilson with his comments? Skyler says, Arden Key Blinken sucks. He's our starting edge rusher. He's not an NFL starting edge rusher. He's a rotational piece at best. I don't know why Key thinks he has the right to talk, LOL.
I love that. Exactly. Good point.
I would agree. Lenny says, it doesn't matter what Denard thinks. He's not going to be here next year.
50-50. Here we go.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, probably not. But it will be interesting. I think if your name is Bones Fossil, you're probably got a good chance of being here next year. But if not, then, yeah, I would say whoever the new coach is going to bring in his own people.
I mean, yeah, he's probably got the best shot. But, I mean, these coaching staffs always bring in their buddies, their friends, those that are comfortable with. So I don't think anybody's guaranteed a spot coming back next year in 26. So, but you know what? We'll have 3 weeks. They'll have that new coach in here.
Yep.
So they won't wait long. The last game is the first Saturday or the first weekend in January. Then there's that Black Monday, and then they'll start hiring coaches left and right. So I think they'll have their guy within a week of that.
Well, it also makes me think, I mean, the two guys that I think are the front runners are Mike McCarthy, who was on McAfee this morning. He's not working anywhere. So, and then Matt Nagy, whose team is going to be done the same time as the Titans.
That's right. Be here this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
And if those two turn it down, oh, boy. Maybe Art Smith comes here. Maybe Art Smith likes living in Pittsburgh and being an offensive coordinator and doesn't want to work for this organization, which you know is completely dysfunctional. And then you start getting to the second-tier guys. It's like, oh, man. And who knows? I heard that Robbie had – Rex wrote a list this morning. Robbie had the list. Vegas had Titans odds for next coaches. And number two is Cliff Kingsbury.
Interesting. Yeah, I say no. These were the offensive assistants, or these were the assistant coaches for Matt Nagy with the Bears his final year there. Bill Lazor was the offensive coordinator. I'm not really familiar with him. John DeFilippo was pass game coordinator and quarterbacks coach. I am familiar with him.
Yep.
He's a well-respected coach. Running backs, Michael Petre, Mike Fury was wide receivers, Chris Jackson was assistant wide receivers, Clancy Barone tight ends, Juan Castillo offensive line, and nobody else really. Tom Herman was a offensive analyst.
Oh, nice. Tom.
He was the Texas coach? Yeah.
Yeah. He's at where FAU now?
Yeah, that seems right. Defensively, Sean Desai?
Desai?
I don't know him. He's with the Bengals right now. He was the DC. Chris Rumpf was defensive line.
Oh, Rump Shaker.
Bill Shuey was a linebacker.
Shuey?
Yeah. S-H-U-E-Y.
What a last name, Shuey.
Bill McGovern was inside linebackers. Deshae Townsend was secondary. He was here, right, at one time?
I know he played at Alabama, but I don't.
He was the DB's coach with the Titans 16 to 17. So that was
nice.
Malarkey. Right?
Malarkey, okay.
Yeah. Thought I recognized that name. Mike Adams, assistant defensive back. He's with the Giants now. He was in the league for a while from 04 to 19, so a long while. Played with the 49ers, the Browns, the Broncos, the Colts, the Panthers, the Texans. There's Mr. Rodemel. Mike Pettine, who was a coach.
Mike Pettine. Oh, man, that guy. What's he doing now?
He is now with the Minnesota Vikings as the assistant head coach and outside linebackers coach.
Okay. Well, I mean, you'll have look, that was your first that's the staff. You're like, hey, when I get a job, I'm going to hire you. This next staff is like, all right, I need guys who need to come in and challenge me left and right and what's going to happen there. So
Chris Tabor was the special teams coordinator. He's with the Bills in the same capacity.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's your staff.
Yeah. So, there's some, maybe some names if it is Matt Nagy.
Wonder why Vegas is popping out Cliff Kingsbury.
I don't know. It seems like a dumb thing they would do.
Right? And then, like, Kubiak's on that list, too. I mean, don't hire another coordinator. Don't do that. Guys got promise.
You know what the definition of insanity is? Keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different result.
Amen. And that's exactly what they're doing there. So don't do that.
I mean, I know Cliff Kingsbury falls into this category, but I want a former head coach.
You know
that,
right?
And whether it's McCarthy or Nagy or Art Smith or Robert Saleh, like, give me one of those guys.
You know what John Rambo wants?
What?
John Rambo wants what he wants, what they want, what every guy who fought for this country wants. For our country to love us as much as we love it. How do we live, John? Day by day. That's the end of Rambo 2.
I am not going to read this from Wes and Hermitage, but it did make me laugh.
Is it Wes is writing about what he's afraid of?
Chasing Big Joe, you don't even owe me a thank you for this, but I did something cool. I've made a small list of celebrities that either hate snakes or will not be near them.
Okay.
And when you look at the list, you'll understand what he's trying to do.
All right. I can't read that far. Are you scared of ghosts?
No.
No?
No. I believe in ghosts, but I'm not scared
so
of them.
So do I. Yeah.
I think they're ghosts.
So if you got visited by a ghost, what would you do?
What's up, ghost?
What if it didn't say anything? It just kind of hovered. I told you this before.
Get some spray out.
I told you. If you see, Dr. Crane, you can weigh on this. If you see, if like, our question today is, what animal, like, are you deathly afraid of snakes? Yes or no? I'm deathly afraid of snakes. I won't go near snakes. It's not that I don't like them. We have an understanding to stay away from each other. So that's our question today. Are you afraid of snakes? But here's the deal with a ghost, right? A ghost is like hovering in your house.
Yeah,
attack it. He's not expecting you to come after him.
But
we've
like,
talked about this.
I can't hit him. My fist will go through him.
In his mind, he's thinking, "All right, this is some guy that's not going to let me have my way. I need to get out of here." So just attack him.
Okay,
go right at him. They're not expecting.
But what if he's nice? What if he or she is nice?
What if he's not?
Well,
if they're just hovering there, staring at you, then they're weird.
Yeah,
then you go at him and knock him down.
Like someone watching you get dressed in a roundabout way. That's weird, man.
Right? And you're like, what are you doing?
Get your holy water out, put it on the walls, call it a day.
On the walls?
Yeah, you spray it onto the walls. Like you get your hand, you splash a little holy water on each part of the wall, and then that somewhat wards off bad evil, if that is bad evil ghosts. Then you grab your rosary, say a few Hail Marys, a couple Our Fathers, and you're good to go.
Okay. Question. I'm not Catholic. How do I get holy water?
You find a priest. And he
All right, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, he'll assist you with that. Find your nearest church.
Is there somebody going to be at the Catholic church at 2 in the morning for me to get holy water?
If the Lord's there, someone's there.
Okay. Get it, come back, and throw it at the ghost or on the wall?
No, you just sporadically, but just toss it around.
Spray it.
Yeah.
It's a spray bottle.
I mean, they do have spray bottles of holy water, but no, it's like a holy water. Yeah, it's like a holy water plastic little compartment that looks like the Blessed Mother. You can take off the top of it, and then you just spray it, like just dab it onto your hands and your fingers, and you just flick it at the walls, and then you just say a couple Hail Marys and Our Fathers as you're doing it. And you know, I think there's a prayer out there where you can, you know, ward off bad evil while you're, you know, doing this to your house. So it's just,
let me ask you this. What if Chase comes in with holy water and sprays it on me? What happens to me?
You just have to make the sign of the cross and you're good.
So is that a good thing that Chase is spraying me with holy water?
Yeah, it's never a bad thing.
Okay. All right.
If you go to Lourdes, France, they have this holy water, not sanctuary, but it's like on the side of a mountain. And they've had people numerous of times that have like tumors or something, and they go lay in the holy water, and it's like miracle water. Like they don't have like the tumors, and they don't, if they have, like, have a broken leg or something, it can cure that in some capacity.
A broken leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to look it up. There are documentaries on it. Lourdes, France. It's like the holy water. Yep.
Wouldn't this be like like we talked today about a leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
To go lay there and get your leg healed.
I'm telling you, it's a special place. They do like church masses on the side of the mountain like 4 to 5 times a day in 6 different languages. It's just fascinating.
Love it. All right, I'm going to look it up.
All this talk about holy water, and the first thing I thought about was the Simpsons episode where Santa's little helper escapes and he goes to the church and he's drinking the holy water.
Oh, what year was that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, maybe we should spray some. What? Look, can we spray holy water at the Titan facility to get the bad juju out of there?
I'm sure if maybe. Amy Adams says okay, then yeah, why not?
Okay. I mean, there's been other
need to ask her.
Other team show up. Hey, Mike McCoy, real quick, and just spray it on him and say, look, man, we got to get the bad juju out of here and turn this team around.
Look, it's not like a New Orleans voodoo type thing. It's, you know, it's holy water. Like, I think if you bring in some form of a pastor or a deacon of some form or fashion, say a rosary and call it a day. I think that's what would really help out the Titans in all capacity. It would just kind of soothe the mind, open up, you know, any negative energy, and it'll get it out of there.
I mean, there are fan bases who have done this throughout. I know, like, I think Bills fans have done it before. Packers fans, I mean, they do it because they want to get the bad juju out of there. I understand all that.
All right, am I allowed to go to break now?
Or do whatever you want,
you guys want to? Okay. We're live today. I was just letting you two go.
I'm just curious.
We're live today at the Omni National Hotel at Bar Lines. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. Hanging out here at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. An update from what we told you earlier, that there was a plane crash in North Carolina, Statesville Regional Airport, that was owned by former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle. It is unfortunately looking like that Greg, his wife, and kids were on the plane. Unconfirmed reports, but there are some people that are close with them that are now coming out and saying it.
So, terrible.
Greg, his wife, Dina, daughter, Emma, and son, Ryder, being reported to be on the plane.
So, oh, man.
We will wait for, you know, confirmation and more updates on that, but very, very sad news out of North Carolina. And Greg, I think I have this right. I believe Greg won the first NASCAR Craftsman truck race at the Nashville Super Speedway.
Really?
I believe that is correct.
2000?
2001. I'll confirm that, but I believe that is correct. So, really sad news there. But we'll keep you updated on that.
All right, Chaser, we got the this came out today. All right, with Tua being benched, they owe Tua. He's getting paid $53 million a year. So, Tua Tagovailoa, I've never once pronounced his last name correctly. So, how about this? Tua is $53 million. These are the highest paid, healthy, non-starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. All right, Tua, $53 million. Who is second? The highest paid, healthy, non-starting quarterback. Who is second?
And it was a Busch Series race, but I was right.
Okay.
the highest paid or the second highest paid non-starting quarterback.
Healthy.
Healthy.
I'll give you a clue. He played football at NC State.
Russell Wilson.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
They transferred to Wisconsin.
Yep.
Number three, this guy makes $7 million a year. He's 3-0 this year as a starting quarterback. He has been benched because the starter came back. But he's getting paid $7 million.
He's been benched? Mac Jones.
No, sir.
Okay.
His name sounds like someplace you'd go get your family portrait made.
Texans. What is his name? Ola Mills is what you're referring to, right?
Right.
Davis Mills.
There, good job, buddy. Talk through it. Number four, the highest paid healthy non-starting quarterback in the National Football League. This guy played at Auburn.
this guy played at Auburn.
He backs up Bo Nix with the Denver Broncos.
Who also played at Auburn.
$6 million a year. He was a Patriot at one time, and Bill Belichick said he's the guy.
Oh. No.
$6 million.
Belichick said he was the guy.
Started for a little bit after Brady. When Mac Jones ran afoul of Belichick, he had this guy.
Well, he had Cam Newton for a while.
Not him.
But who was the other one?
One Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham. I forgot all about him.
Number five, highest paid healthy non-starting quarterback in the National Football League. Here's your clue. Keep your mama away from him.
The Jets drafted him. Oh, crap. What is his name?
Remember, if we said if you played for the Titans, he'd be hanging out in 12 South.
Yeah, yeah.
Over at the boundary.
I know who he, I mean, I know who he is.
Rio Bravo.
Zach Wilson.
Attaboy, yeah. Chaser. That's it. So Tua gets $53 million. He's benched on the same team. Zach Wilson, $6 million.
Well, there's another guy that would be on that list if the starting quarterback was healthy, and that would have been Kirk Cousins. Because Kirk Cousins was signed as a starter, and then they go to Penix.
He should be on this.
Yeah, but he's starting right now.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one.
Right, all that. But the Dolphins are paying out nearly $60 million to two guys to sit on the bench. So next time you an NFL team complains about funds and revenue, know that this is happening. You know, $60 million, two guys sitting there. Now they go to Quinn Ewers, a seventh-round draft choice, and has the opportunity to solidify that job, and it's crazy. And I think the dead money on Tua, if they let him go, is astronomical. So that's what you got to deal with all this.
615-737-1025. Yes, we, by the way, on our text line, 4819, we did talk about Sheila Crisp, who passed away. So thank you for texting, and we did talk about that at the start of the show. So thinking about Terry and his family through all of this. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll talk more about the Chiefs. Seren Petro is a radio host in Kansas City. He will join us next here on 102.5 The Game.